Hi, my name is Adrian. I'm a drug addict. I think I had a call about a few weeks ago that I'm going to be sharing here. I says, "Oh, I've only ever done two shares, and you know, since I come to the meetings." And he says, "You'll be all right. There'll only be six people here. Hi to you, six. The rest, please walk to the exit." No, I'd be all right. It's not about me anymore. And one of those shares saved my life in July last year. So I want to do the same for someone else now. I started using when I was about 20 in Germany. My mum is German, my dad is British, and she took me to Germany, and I quickly escalated and started getting into crimes and burgling houses. Even at night when people were still in their houses, and doing smash and grabs in shops, and I'd go to any lengths to get my drugs. I like the feeling. I was a lost child and a lost teenager already before I ever started using drugs. And drugs made me feel normal, I felt abnormal, everyone else is fucked. And I got used to it, I couldn't imagine being without that feeling anymore. And because of all the crimes that I tried supplying people with heroin for a while, I had this picture in my head, lots of watts of dollars and mountains of coke. For my mountains of coke, you needed a magnifying glass. And now the penny jar on the table and the leg ulcer and scabies. Well, I was living the dream, so I was in Germany, for three years and 3 months. I would use in prison as well. Every time I could, I would manipulate my mum to bring me in drugs. My mum was dedicated in her life to helping me get off drugs. And mum was raided at home, and she was burgled. I owed people money for drugs, and my mum went through hell, and she will always forgive me. People say, "Throw him out, he's ruining your life." She would kick off with them, and say, no, he's got this mystery illness, he's always tired. And, my mom would stick up for me. The British Embassy came to visit me in prison towards the end of my sentence. Said, "We've got some books for you." I couldn't even speak English. I'm British, I've got a British passport, my dad is British, I was born here. But I never realised that I may have to go, it's Class A's. And they said they're going to deport you when you get out of here. I was like, "Whoa," I come out of prison, and they gave me a choice to either get deported or go here voluntarily. So I came here voluntarily because they said it would save you a lot of, red tape and stuff. And I arrived here in England, rattling again, no English, I met a girl pretty quickly, so I helped. Got married. I don't even know how I got married with him. Sat in the room with her parents, and then when you're going to get married, and then they said, "We're going to pay for this, that, and the other." Yeah, I'm yes to that. I ended up in 2012. I ended up really, really injured. My leg was about to be amputated. That leg ulcers. You could see the fibula. My friend Claire wants me to tell you about the maggot story. I was treated with maggots, but I won't go into detail. It's disgusting. I was broken and mentally and physically by 2012. But I had to stop. I couldn't get the needle in anymore. I couldn't, I was shooting up snowballs every day, day and night. It took me 3 years to come out. I was taking methadone all the while. I was using heroin and crack. I was on the methadone program. It's supposed to be a program to reduce, but it kind of kept coming up, So in 2016, I come off all drugs for the first time in I think 26 years or so. It was a shock to me. My behavior got worse. I met a beautiful wife, my wife now, I became a dad. I never thought I'd become a dad because I thought I destroyed that part,
and I have a little boy, he's 3 years old now. But I just couldn't get better, you know. I woke up in the morning depressed. I would go home at night feeling suicidal. And then I started drinking at weekends because I just couldn't enjoy life. I didn't enjoy my recovery. It was shit. And I thought, if this was what recovery is like, I don't want to be in recovery, you know. And it got so bad that last year I tried to take my own life in July. I think it was in July. It was like a blur hole, you know, and survived that. And I met this guy from the services for a volunteer. He said, you can't work here anymore because you need to get yourself better. And he kept asking me what I do for my recovery. I said, volunteering, college. I mean, I literally exhausted every option there was to get a better life, but it didn't get any better for me. I tortured mentally. I mentally abused my wife, my mom, you know. I hate towards my mom, even though I love my mom so much, you know, and she passed away this year in May. He said, I want you to go to this meeting in the same building. It's called DAA. And I thought he said DNA, you know. I thought, is it because of my leg? No. fuck that. I'm not going there, you know. But because he was so kind, you know, I went there and I sat there. And what you just said, I thought I was in a cold and thought people were going to lay hands on me in a minute. And the first share, you know, it was my story. I only remember one sentence the guy said, and it was, I feel as useful as a plastic bag floating down the street. And that was me. I felt that useless, you know, that useful. And I sat 6 months listening to shares. Well, no, I kept coming back, you know. I was an atheist since the age of 14. Got hate almost, you know, make really bad comments about it. And just before Christmas this year, I started my program. I thought I had nothing to lose anymore, no choice. I didn't want to go back to that life anymore. And started step one. And in step one, I found out what I was suffering with. And it wasn't the drugs, the alcohol, or so. It was life, you know, the way I behaved. I was always nice to everyone as long as everything went my way. It never did. So I wasn't nice at all. And in step one, I realized, you know, when I self-diagnosed myself, I was a type 3 addict. And it was bad news in a way, because step one told me that I'm going to use again. You know, I'm going to definitely, going on my history of using, I'm doomed, you know. It was bad news. But then step two was really, really deep, I thought, and it was talking about this power and how to find it and how do you do it, and talking about so many, many of us who came here like the same as me. Atheists, agnostics, and that, and there was one bit where it says, where do you find that power? And my sponsor said to me, take a line out and write the generator. And I said, where's the generator? Deep inside you. And I think I found what I was searching for probably all my life, you know. And then I did step three. That was pretty mad, you know, old school, going on my knees. My sponsor repeating after him, and it felt so good, all this worry and stress, you know. I didn't really get the whole step three prayer, but apart from the lines, relieve me of the bondage of self, you know, and take away my difficulties. And that was so powerful, and after that I felt a change, you know, and I started smiling, and I thought, what the fuck is happening to me, you know. tried to explain it, but And in the past, I would always think things are going to go wrong. I don't think that anymore, you know. It's just got better and better, really. I'm still learning. I'm listening now to people, you know. I've got amazing... I had no friends before. I've got the biggest dysfunctional family you can ever think of. You know, my mom, before my mom died, she always said, what are you going to do when I'm not here? My mom was my only family here. I said, Mum, I'll be all right, believe me. She already met my sponsor and some of my friends, and we talked openly about her because I'm a mummy's boy, you know, I need my mum. And even after she died, I found myself feeling all right. And I rang my sponsor and said, I'm feeling guilty, you know, because I feel really good. And she said, no, you know, and he said, no, you know, your mom, when she too happy, my mom was really sick, and she wanted to go, so I started to feel good, you know, because I had my program every day whilst my mom was sick, and after she died, and I still got that, no, if I don't have my program, I have nothing, and I just had my first interview in 25 years, a job interview. I got a yes, you know.
Oh, wow.
Got a yes, a support worker job. You know, studying, counselling. I'm getting up every morning, enjoying life. On the phone with my friend Paul here, you know, at 6 a.m. He rings at 4 sometimes. Fuck off. you know, I need these people every day, and they were all there for me at the funeral. You know, Benny was there. You know, I was all over the place. I didn't know where to start. He said, "Don't worry, don't worry." I remember looking at him, and that was all I needed to know. You know, reassurance, and I started sponsoring people myself. No, and look, seeing them get better, you know, it's just can't get any better at the moment. And I stopped worrying about things going wrong. And yeah, my sponsor, you know, he has got a lot of patience, as I say, and he's no saint. But I'm so appreciate what he's done. You know, my whole life changed, and I thank God for the AA and my friends. Thank you very much.